Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board. Join with us as we discuss some very, very important issues that I believe impact the lives of each and every one of us, each and every day. Conservatives, Christians, patriots, I believe that we're finding, as Tony Perkins said a number of months ago, that the Biden administration is attacking faith, family, and our freedom, and we see that taking place each and every day. We're watching what I call the disintegration of the constitutional republic that we've known for all of these years. In fact, one individual said that we have plummeted to the level of a banana republic. And that was a representative in the U.S. House of Representatives that made that statement in relationship to Joe Biden and what Biden is doing in office. I'm asking the question today, should we all be fearful? Should we all be fearful? We're watching the federal government encroaching upon every aspect of our lives. We're watching the disintegration of anything that's called morals and ethics and values. We're witnessing the fascist movement of the Biden administration, and yet he's calling we the people conservatives. He's calling us fascist. We're watching and witnessing today as the government's taking control of what we drive, how we drive, where we go, and how long we stay, and making the determination that they are the kingpins, the rulers, as to what we need to drive. In fact, if we're left to Pete Buttigieg, we'd be pedaling a bicycle. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching and witnessing today also ultimate truth coming out in relationship to the lie that we've been told by the CDC, the FDA, and the governmental agencies. We're witnessing today the iron fist of a fascist form of government that can go in and raid homes, go in and confiscate goods, papers, and documents out of a former president's home. And then the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered. If they can do that to President Donald J. Trump, what will they do to you or me, we the people? Should we all be fearful is the question I'm asking today. And I believe from a Christian perspective, from a conservative perspective, we need to recognize the trajectory that we're on. And if it continues, ladies and gentlemen, our Bill of Rights will be eviscerated, totally annihilated. We'll not have the freedom of religion. We'll not have the freedom of speech. We'll not have the right to keep and bear arms in the very near future. Lest we do, as George Barner just stated in a major document, he calls for all hands on board for this election. All hands on board. And he makes a statement, we'll look at it further in the broadcast, that every Christian, every conservative must vote if we want to preserve our constitutional republic that we call the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, according to David Barton with Wall Builders Ministry, 40 million Christians, 40 million Christians do not vote in election time. So we're in a serious position. We're in a serious condition in our nation. We're going to talk about several of these things today. We have a very special guest that we'll introduce in just a moment that we're going to discuss these issues, bound them about, open the microphones and allow you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. We invite you to do so. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31 and 32, as the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, the Lord Jesus points to John 17:17 and says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact today that truth is not sought after and looked at as being embraced or being beneficial or necessary. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be taking place today as perhaps never before in the history of our great nation, where there is a mindset of disregarding anything that's called truth. This is the reason I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And so, ladies and gentlemen, I call on you as our listeners each and every day to defend the truth out in the marketplace of ideas and dialogue and discussion. We need to seek the truth. You generally not find that on the Communist Network News. It's hard to find a little modicum of truth even on Fox News. MSNBC, you will not find it. In fact, that's the home, if you will, of Joe Scarborough. And Joe Scarborough just recently said that there's nothing wrong with abortion. After all, Jesus Christ never mentioned one time about abortion. And therefore, he says that the Christians are perverting the gospel when we say that abortion is wrong. Yet my Bible says abortion is murder, based on the authority of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. But ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators and the hurricane preparedness equipment. But ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the children of God to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's word intended it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, lest I forget it. The telephone number is 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of internet, it's area code 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, recently, perhaps you recall, it was on low profile from the news standpoint because most of the news media did not carry it. But Joe Biden called all of us Americans, all Christians, conservatives, patriots, he called us fascists. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Biden administration that exemplifies everything that's called fascism. In fact, Franklin Graham said, "Biden's speech attack is an attack on all freedom-loving Americans." Franklin Graham charged Friday that Joe Biden's speech to the nation on Thursday, although not carried by many networks, actually was an attack on all freedom-loving Americans. He says further, "Biden in his partisan speech lashed out angrily at Republicans who he claimed are trying to undermine democracy. Tonight, this is a quote, tonight, President Biden said that the MAGA threats to the very, is a threat to the very foundation of our republic. Really? Question mark. I want to see America great again. I want to see America as a leader, as a place for people who desire liberty and justice for all. I don't want to see this country turned into a socialist country. I don't want to see it fail, Graham said. Quote, does believing in freedom, believing in justice, believing in opportunity, believing in less taxes, believing in a smaller government, make men extremists? Absolutely not. The ones who are extremists are the ones who want to take that away from all of us. Ronald Reagan campaigned to make America great again. Does that make him an extremist? Quote, President Biden is trying to vilify and demean conservatives and freedom-loving Americans who do not support the failing, economically unsound policies of this administration. Ultimately, America can only have true greatness through God. The blessings of this nation have come from the hand of God. We need to turn to Him. We need His help. We need His direction. We need His healing in our land. End quote from Franklin Graham. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm appalled at the thought that a president would call freedom-loving Americans, Christians, conservatives, patriots, would have the gall to call us fascist. Today, Biden's directive, ladies and gentlemen, is almost unheard of in the annals of anything that's called American history. His decision, and ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully, regardless of what you're told by the MSNBC, the CNN, and the other communist network news, Joe Biden, the president of the United States of America, although an illegal, unelected president seated in the Oval Office, and he is illegal, unelected, but there, it was Joe Biden that made, with a conversation with Merrick Garland, the DOJ, that then had the FBI to raid President Donald J. Trump's home. It was at the absolute directive from Joe Biden to do so. And ladies and gentlemen, if that can be done to a former United States president, what can they do to us, the general public? How should we respond? I'm looking at an article that says, who are you calling a fascist, Mr. President? The other day, President Joe Biden accused voters of opposition party of turning to semi-fascism. This is probably the first time in all of American history a president has openly attacked the opposing party's constituents in this harsh manner. These days, the word democracy, like fascism, has lost all of its meaning. According to Democrats, asking someone to show ID before voting is an attack on democracy. But so is the Supreme Court's handing back power to voters on abortion issues. When you have no limitation and no limiting principles of governance, when you have nothing that will limit you, anything that inhibits your exertion of power is seen as anti-democracy. If students have loans to be paid, forgive them. If you can't pass the bill, the executive branch should do it by fiat. If the courts can't stop it, pack it. Power is only to be limited when the opposition holds it in their hands, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are today. We're going to talk about that and a number of other issues, including what we're finally discovering about the COVID jab, about the number of the deaths as a result of it. We're going to talk about Pete Buttigieg and his push now to introduce into American legislation a federal requirement for you to drive an electric vehicle, just as they're now requiring in the state of California. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you our very special guest today. Many of you come to know him well down through the years as we've had dialogue and discussion on this radio broadcast. We're delighted to have today Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former representative for District 1 in the Florida House. We're delighted to have him joining us today. Welcome, Congressman, to our Let's Face the Issues broadcast today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's always an honor to be here.
It's always our delight to have you with your insight, with your Christian perspective, your conservative perspective on the issues. You've heard a brief part of the monologue in relationship to some of the things we're talking about today. Give me your in put your thought, your position, your take on what we're seeing with a president calling each of us, and that's what he's done. He's called the American public fascist. How do you take that? How do you read that? How should we respond to it? Should we be fearful of what is taking place with, Congressman, one person said, between 35 and 60 are President Trump's associates, attorneys, and those involved in his administration have been persecuted, prosecuted, their phones taken, their homes and the businesses raided. How should we view this as American citizens?
Well, I think, Dr. Youngblood, that we should not, number one, be fearful, but that we should instead continue to stand firm on our Christian values and on our constitutional values. I believe the more that we stand firm, the harder it's going to be for this illegitimate president to implement the things that he is trying to do. When Joe Biden mentioned or called us all fascist, I believe what he was doing then was a dog whistle to the terrorist arm of the Democrat Party, the violent arm of the Democrat Party, which they have always had. You can go all the way back to the end of the Civil War when the Democrat Party unleashed the KKK, a violent terrorist wing of the Democrat Party, to help them carry out their reign of terror and fear and to try to force their illegitimate concepts onto the American public, first in the South and then it spread into the North. And we see it throughout the history of the Democrat Party. We see it with the formation of the unions and the union mobs as they would try to force their own will on businesses. And they would use those terror tactics. They would use violence to try and get their way. If there were workers who wanted to cross the line when the unions did not want them to. And then we come to the civil rights movement. And even though that was a legitimate call that we stand up to the ideals of our Constitution, that all men are created equal and to treat everyone equally, again, the Democrats turned it into a violent a protest, a violent march. And we saw it throughout our cities all over the U.S. And then as we move even more recently, we see where they unleash the violent part of the Democrat wing on our college campuses and with Antifa and with Black Lives Matter. So I think what Joe Biden was doing is he is calling out to, again, that violent extremist part of the left, get ready, because in November, when the Republicans retake the House and possibly the Senate, it may be a time to call to arms again to unleash their violence. That is what I believe was going on with that speech.
Absolutely. I'm in full agreement with that. In fact, I'm looking at an article that is well written, dated September the 6th. It says, Biden's speech divides, deceives, and demonizes, end quote. That's the headline. This writer says, it is my conviction that Joe Biden causes division and offenses, uses smooth talk and flattery, plus works with the socialist, globalist, and Marxist of the radicalized Democratic Party to deceive the hearts of all unsuspecting Americans, end quote. Further, this writer says, is he what political leaders did in Sudan and other countries to intimidate opposition and to manipulate the masses into a totalitarian control? And I believe that has summarized basically what you've just said is the approach and the tactic that's used by the Biden administration. And, Congressman, I'm concerned, not fearful. In fact, 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the seventh verse says that God's not given us a spirit of fear. So I'm not fearful from the standpoint of being afraid of what's going to happen, but in recognizing what is taking place, I believe that we should all be recognizing it and fearful from the standpoint of what shall happen, lest we as Christians and conservatives vote. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but I'm sure you're familiar with David Barton and Wall Builders Ministry. But David Barton has done a superior job in calling churches, pastors, and Christians to accountability before God in civil government by voting. But David Barton says that some 40 million Christians do not vote in elections. 40 million. That is an astounding, staggering number in my mind. And I'm concerned about it from that standpoint. I'm looking at an article, Congressman, says top former Time magazine writer says Biden's people are the fascist. The subtitle. Don't forget that both Hitler and Mussolini began as socialists. Biden's speech actually had it all backwards. If there are fascists in America these days that are apt to be found among the tribes on the left, they are Mr. Biden and his people, including the lion's share of the media, whose opinions have, since January the 6th, 2021, hardened into absolute faith that any party or political belief system except their own is legitimate, illegitimate, impermissible, inhumane, monstrous, and a threat to the democracy, end quote. It goes on to talk about, or to aptly apply it, what is happening now, he continues, against the Democratic Party would require conformity to its orthodoxy and a diversity, else open borders and mandatory drag shows, et cetera, et cetera. Talking about what Biden is doing and how he is turning it all backwards, if you please, in calling we the people the fascist. Congressman, hold a moment. I believe we have Matt on the line. Matt, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Thanks for taking my call. And you were so spot on about the tempo and the not-so-hidden message that the President Biden had a week before last or whenever that aired on TV. As a career military man, I've got to say that I would have been extremely uneasy if I was one of those two Color Guard Marine Corps uniformed soldiers standing in that red, ominous background around Mr. Biden. I don't regard him as President Biden, Mr. Biden. But the Democratic Party has already put a number of things into action, and we're going to have to start showing some visible signs of action on our side of the table. If I were one of those uniformed soldiers standing there, I would have had to decline remaining at my post on both sides in that red, ominous background and walked off the stage.
I'm in full agreement with what you're saying. It is the ominous look to the setting, and I believe it was planned and promulgated in that fashion to bring about a sense of awe, a sense of fear, a sense of intimidation for the Biden administration and what they can do if you are associated with anything that's called conservatism, Christian, or anything that would be viewed as against the Biden administration. Matt, thank you so much for your input, for your comments. Congressman Hill, how do you respond to Matt's insights and his statements?
Well, I also served in the military, and what Joe Biden did was illegal, using active duty military personnel in a political rally, which is exactly what it was. He wasn't just addressing the nation. That turned out to be a political rally. And so it was illegal for him to use those Marines in that manner. Now, would I have walked off the stage? I doubt that I would have, because under the current regime, that certainly likely would have meant a court-martial and dismissal from a dishonorable discharge from the military. So I would not have risked that. However, someone should be held accountable because of that illegal action, including General Milley and Secretary Austin. They should be held accountable, both of them, for what took place there, because they did nothing to stop it. And then afterwards, well, let me say this, I don't know if they tried to stop it, but afterwards, they should have spoken out against it, made it clear that they did not approve of that. But there's been silence from those two, which speaks of how they belong to this illegal, illegitimate regime.
Congressman, you're exactly right. And what I find, if I can do a little spinoff from what you just said, I find it appalling that across the board, with 99.9%, if not more, of our so-called conservative Republican leaders in the Beltway of Washington and multitudes across our states have been silent on issues like that. They've been silent on issues in relationship to the fascist speech by Joe Biden. I found silence on the part of the Republicans, generally speaking, whether it's a local, state, or national Republicans in office. I see very little being said in retaliation or in a sense of consternation even about what was said and how the Biden administration's carrying things out. I'm looking at an article that says, this is Soviet, and there's no other word for it. The Fox News host, Tucker Carlson, warning every American should be terrified by the FBI's recent confrontation with an innocent woman in which agents claimed an anonymous tipster told them that she had been at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th. That's when a few hundred people rioted, vandalizing parts of the building. Virtually all of these and some others have been arrested and are being detained without bond even now, nearly 2 years later. Carlson explained that the victim of the FBI maneuver was Lisa Gallagher. Lisa, one of the many Trump supporters who woke up to an FBI raid early this month. He explained that she had not committed any crime of any kind. I don't think you've ever been accused of any crime or even at the Capitol on January 6th, he asked her. I don't think you were even in Washington. Tell us how you felt when Joe Biden's FBI showed up with guns at your home the morning after the speech. The morning after Joe Biden's speech, this is what took place. Now, you are familiar with it. I'm sure our listeners may not be. So I'm going to take the liberty to read one paragraph that I believe summarizes it. Then, Congressman, I want us to talk about it. She related it this way. I was terrified, and I'll be honest with you, when my daughter woke up telling me that there were three armed FBI officers at my front door, I thought she was joking, and immediately I tried to throw my clothes on. I called my husband crying. My knees were shaking, and even I thought I knew I had done, even though I knew that I'd done nothing wrong after seeing Joe Biden's speech the night before, I thought, oh, my God, this is political, and I was frightened. I truly thought that they could take me out of here in handcuffs, and I thought, I'm in my bedroom, and I thought, am I coming home? Really coming home? So I went outside, and I said, gentlemen, you're scaring me. And they proceeded to tell me that they had been given an anonymous tip that I was in at the Capitol on January the 6th. Then Tucker Carlson explained that the agents knew she had not been there because the government has extensive facial recognition software. So the point is, Congressman Hill, this is happening across America today. Everyone that's conservative, everyone that has anything to do with Trump, if you're known to be a Trump supporter, your home's being raided, you're being threatened and intimidated. We got about 45 seconds before our top of the hour news break. Start touching on that, and then we'll go back to it after the break.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I think it goes back to what you mentioned previously about David Barton's statistic that 40 to 50 million Christians did not vote in the last election. And we are seeing the results of that right now with this Biden regime and with these FBI and Department of Justice, how they are behaving because they have no moral compass.
Yes.
And Christians need to rise up and vote into office those who do hold a moral compass based on Christian values.
Yes. Hold your thought there, ladies and gentlemen. Be right back right after the top of the hour news. Don't turn your dials.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.